The Better on Draft podcast is recorded live in Detroit Sound Studios in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back with your hosts, Dan, Nick, Ken, Rob, and Matt.
Johnson and episode. We are live. Episode Woo! Number 81 of the Better on Draft podcast. My name is Ken. Sitting with me are my hosts going around the table. Matt, what's going on?
I seem to have had an accident, Ken.
We can tell.
I put on my headphones and the part of the cord that was under the can I was drinking came forth to me.
Oh boy.
And came off the table. And I look like Adam Sandler in the middle of Billy Madison at the moment. When they're on that first grade field trip.
So you're saying that the liquid has impeded upon your pants.
I'm just saying I would also be best friends with Ernie.
But what was in your cup? What did you...
Oh, that was this very delicious liquid by Veterans Brewing Company called Hoorah? Yeah, Hoo-Yah, rather.
Hoo-Yah?
Hoo-Yah.
Hoo-Yah.
Yeah, that too.
Hoo-Yah. And now it's Hoo-Yah on your pants.
Hoo-Yah on your
pants. That sounds like a good time.
That sounds like a beer name for like Imperial aged beer. The Imperial Hoo-Yah. Hoo-Yah.
Is that, would I call this denim age then?
Denim age. Are you trying to soak it up on your body so you get drunk that way?
Yeah. What's the opposite of butt chugging?
Chugging?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I'll be like a frog today and just soak it in through my layers gosh. Of skin.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's happening.
Are you drinking anything right now?
Yeah, I've got a Diverters.
What's that reds right there?
Oh, I have a raspberry and a peach. And we're going to see if they don't poison me.
Dude, look at the combination he has over here. He's got the reds, he's got the line of Kugel Summer Shandy, and he has hams.
I mean, basically, so you got lemonade, peach, and raspberry. I mean, you're basically
and
making
piss.
A, I mean...
Whoa. People spend more money for urine than they do for hams.
I don't know about that.
So he's got piss in a can, but not on his pants.
Hey, I'm not judging people who drink hams. It's just not my
$12 for a 30 rack.
Yeah, I know. It's not my bag.
But, I mean, you're like a couple can of reds away from making a fruit salad.
I'm saying, you judge me for drinking a Lime-A-Rita.
At least this is an
ale. I'm judging him for bringing a grape-a-rita last week.
Well, we all did drink that.
Yeah, it was good times.
That actually was not bad.
Nick, what are you drinking over there?
I am starting with a Veterans Beer Co. Bunker Buster, their brown rye, and a Modelo Especial.
All right.
Don't ask me why.
Yeah, it's not single till next week.
I was going to say, yeah.
I'm on vacation, so I wanted something, you know.
Must be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
No.
I had to wake up at the crack of 9 o'clock today.
Yeah. I'll probably be waking up at 9 o'clock tomorrow, and I'm on vacation.
And you're on vacation. Yeah. Rob, what's going on?
Hey, you know, doing my thing.
What are you drinking over there?
I got myself a little
protein shake.
Yeah, a little protein. I'm triple fisting. I got a chocolate
protein shake.
Protein shake, a cup of the Veterans Bunker Buster, and a Founders Sumatra Mountain.
Ooh.
So brown on brown.
Brown on brown.
Brown on brown on brown.
I was going to say, I still think the Sumatra is much better in bottle than it is on draft.
And definitely.
So weird to say it, especially for the name of our show and for the fact that I love brown ales. But the first time that I had it at the brewery, and it was just god-awful. And then I had it in a bottle, I think, when Kevin showed up. And it was just probably one of the most amazing browns I ever had. And it's so weird to have such a distinction between the draft and the bottle itself.
I think the thing is, when you get beer on draft, you don't get a whole lot of carbonation in the beer. And I think sometimes some beers are better with the carbonation. Like, you drink I know I'm going to go back to my Miller Lite. You get it. There's almost no head to it. It's just flat and fizzy. Whereas if you get it in a can, you pour it out, or even if you pop it out
what
of the
if
can,
you get it in a Vortex bottle?
Yeah.
Oh,
or one
gosh.
Of those
wide mouth
32-ounce crushers.
Yeah.
You get a little bit of head, a little bit of extra to it, so I don't know.
Well, I just finished a beer myself. I just finished the Freedom Road from Veteran Beer Co. I had it when I went to the Polar Beers Festival a couple months ago in Royal Oak, and our guest from Veteran Beer Co., Greg, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah.
I'm
glad you're here. So this was, I was probably drinking this when I was talking to you at Polar Beer Fest.
I hope so.
It was probably one of the best beers I had at the festival, and I definitely stopped there a few times when your line wasn't, you know, long or there wasn't a lot of people crowding, because you were by the founder's tent, I think, too.
We were by the band, which it seemed like for that festival, it was so packed that that's where the only bubble was where you could go to get air, and luckily there was air and Veteran Beer, so we got a lot of people coming through that way.
So how long you work for Veteran Beer Co. for?
A little over a year. I started out part-time initially because we were getting ready to launch in Michigan, so I was helping prepare for the launch. And then we launched for 4th of July weekend of last year right here in Michigan. So that's when I went full-time, and I've been rocking ever since.
So I read on the website that you guys are veteran-owned, veteran-employed. So obviously you were in the
Marine Corps.
Marine Corps, all right.
Yeah.
Disabled Marine Corps vet.
Hoorah.
Oh, okay.
Hoorah.
How long were you in the Marines for?
A little over 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah, so I did the 4 years. I did Afghanistan and Iraq. I had to extend a little while to do Iraq. My options were do Afghanistan twice or extend and do Iraq. Mm. And I didn't want to leave the military and know I didn't go over. So
was it for the sightseeing?
I'm lucky. I feel like a lot of people get very jaded by going the same place over and over and over again. I'm lucky that in my career, I was able to go to different war zones. So war is hell, but don't go to the same war zone.
So you've been did you work in the beer industry before, or is this kind of your first foray into
this was my first time in here, and where I got extremely lucky. I was looking for work at the time, and the model with the veteran beer company is we can only hire veterans, and that goes from our founder CEO all the way down through the company. And that makes it so that we have to look at people and say, are they right for the position? You know, we don't have to say, okay, veterans are about 2% of the population. They're having a lot of trouble finding work. So why not give this person a second look? So that's what they did with me. They looked and asked themselves, okay, he's a veteran. Is he good for the position? You know, and I didn't have the experience in the industry. I've had some sales experience, but
that's what you do, right? You're in sales.
Well, I'm called the state director, so I do so my predominant job in Veteran Beer Company is the Michigan sales.
Sure.
But we also give 10% top line revenue to local veteran charities.
Right.
So I deal with the charities, and that's why, you know, I'm selling beer, so that's amazing. But working for a company that's only run by veterans, so we're helping veterans and donating to local veteran charities. It's an awesome
job. Yeah.
There's nothing to not dislike.
Oh, no. I mean,
and ideally you guys are drinking it and people listening are drinking it.
Mm-hmm.
It's good beer first that they want to drink, and, you know, a good cause after that.
As I'm drinking it, I'm about to say the next.
Well, the brown ale is delicious. I just had it.
Yes,
so.
the Bunker Buster.
The mother of all beers.
How does that make you feel? That you were saying before the show started, if I can go, if I can go into this.
Did you watch TRL?
What's that?
That we watched TRL. Yeah,
no, we're not getting into that conversation.
I didn't admit to it then, and I'm not admitting to it now. I have no idea what you're talking about.
You just had to be home at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Right. So this was – you were actually saying that this was actually going to be called something else, and it was going to be called Mother
– Well,
explain that a little bit.
So I think it was last July we were sampling the beer, and we were kicking around names for it, and we were coming up with all different types. I mean, we're the Veteran Beer Company.
Yeah.
It's not a clever name. It's, you know, 100% owned and operated by veterans. So we're coming up with military names, and I thought, you know, how about the mother of all bombs, mother of all beers, we'll call it the Moab. And everyone's like, you know, I think that's just too obscure. I don't think anyone would know it. So we come up with Bunker Buster, and we're all happy with Bunker Buster, and okay, that's the mother of all bombs is considered a Bunker Buster because it will blow the hell out of anything you drop it on. So then about a week and a half ago, the Moab became very up in everyone's mind, and I got sent an email.
Very newsworthy.
Yeah, I got sent an email with our updated our posters, and of course across the top of it is the mother of all beers as the nickname for the Bunker Buster. I said, that is... just really clever, guys. You're good. And
if someone would have only thought about that a while back.
Yeah,
I know, really, right?
Well, you got to think forward thinking. And they were on top of it. They were probably like, where did I hear that before?
Let's go back to you for a second, because you said veterans are 2% of the population.
Yeah.
They always have a hard time trying to find work after their tour of duty, or you know, they go, you know, on medical discharge, things like that. How hard was it for you to get back into the workforce? How long do you remember how long you were out before you kind of settled here at Veteran?
Well, it's difficult. And I think it's something like, if you're just a veteran and you get out and you're looking for work, now we're behind than a lot of people, because we get out, we go to college. Mm-hmm. Now we're so much older.
Yeah.
So a lot of times they're thinking, I want fresh people or people with experience.
Sure.
And now you have a family. You know, yeah. You have all this time. You're older. You can't set back to
right.
where, you know, people were when they were just getting fresh out of college.
Right.
But that's where they expect you to do that. So that's where, you know, we try and work with people to – if you can't do – not many places could do 100%
yeah.
operated by veterans. But we ask people to take that second look because, what I say is there was an individual. They said, okay, other than just being patriotic and helping out the veterans, why should we hire a veteran over
sure.
a regular person? And I know the exact reason why. And it's because veterans are trained mm-hmm. and we go into when we're in the field that if you get told to take a hill – you go and take the hill.
Yeah.
It's not firing starts happening and you turn and say, I know you said to take the hill, but I'm not sure if you noticed that they're kind of shooting at us, so I can't do it. And that's the mentality we take to the workforce. And that's what I tell people. So what's unfortunate is if you are a veteran, you have a harder time finding work because you don't have that experience. Mm-hmm. If you're a disabled veteran, I think the percentage is like 80% chance you'll never work again.
Really?
And that should not be the case. And we
right.
need more than just gestures. You know, and that's part of the reason we're a brewery. Our story started here, if I can.
Yeah, no, by all means.
So give you the full circle. Our corporate, where our founder, CEO, or brewmaster is, mm-hmm. is Chicago, Illinois. Mm-hmm. Our current brewery for the beers in Michigan is Stevens Point, Wisconsin, which we want to be here as soon as possible in Michigan Brewing.
Sure.
But our story started in 2012. Our founder, CEO, he owns another company as well. He was in a veteran unemployment summit here in Detroit, Michigan, and he realized there just didn't seem to be much teeth. You know, a lot of patting each other on the back. Here's a bunch of plaques about veteran unemployment, but no one doing anything about it. So on his way home, he was feeling a little disheartened, and he said, you know what? I need to do something about this myself.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, he's driving home, and sign after sign is drink for your vets and put up this beer for your vets and whatnot. And he thought, okay, let me look into this. And he saw that year, and I don't know if he really wants me saying this on a podcast, but he saw that year Budweiser donated $600,000 to veteran charities. And we say, wow, that's great. I'd still take that money to this day for veteran charities.
Sure.
The issue we had was they spent $16 million to promote that. And he thought, we can
yeah.
do better. We right. can do better.
Right.
So he created a company. He wanted it to be – so he said, we could do better. He created this beer company. And he wants to be top-notch beer that people want to drink,
mm-hmm.
and you happen to be doing good stuff for veterans.
Right.
And that's why he built into it, you have to be a veteran to work here.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hire a non-veteran. And also 10% top-line revenue goes to local veteran charities.
That's just awesome.
So that guarantees
yeah.
it's never a gimmick. And whether if we're profitable or not, we have to give. And hopefully that doesn't put us under.
Right.
We want to get there to where we're confident and growing throughout the country. And hopefully that will continue.
Well, it seems that, you know, prepping for today's show, that there's been a very positive response in the beer that you guys have. We have a couple on the table. We got the Bunker Buster. We got the Freedom Row, which is the American Lamber. We got the Hooya IPA, and then the Blonde Bomber.
I'll make it easy for you.
They appreciate it. So, but reading it, you guys have entered in multiple contests, beer competitions, and you guys taken home what seems to be a great number
yeah.
of awards for, I'm assuming, probably these three right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, we have it.
This one probably not so much yet because it's still kind of
new.
Yeah,
it's very new. It's limited, so that will come and go before we probably enter it in stuff. I don't know how that works. They enter it. But so, yeah, the three we've entered in mm-hmm. 42 nationally ranked events. We've taken home medals. Win place or show in 39 of
them.
So it's done very, very yeah. well.
Now, these three that we have here besides the Bunker Buster, are these kind of like your mainstays? companies, the flagship?
Yes, they're all. We always have these three in bottle. Mm-hmm. They're our mainstays. They're here all year long. Mm-hmm. What we do is right now we kind of have a rotating tap.
Sure.
So right now we have Blonde Bomber, and for the most part that almost always stays on.
Yeah.
And then it's going to rotate between Hooyah and Freedom Ruin.
Okay.
So that is something to look for. You know, finding us on tap, and which is cool. I don't know if you can see it from over there, but this is our tap handle. It's
That is very large caliber.
So for everyone at home, what you're looking at is a battlefield-fired round.
Oh.
It comes from an A-10 Warthog. It is the only tap handle that is regulated by the ATF. We have to prove it's inert before we can send it out because it was a live-fired round. So I assume most people here are from Michigan. Yep. That's the plane that flies in Selfridge Air Force Base is the A-10.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. So that's what they fire. I actually met an individual. I stopped into the VFW in Royal Oak.
Okay.
And he's like, yeah, I have a bunch of those in the back of my trunk. I'm like, all right.
You should have said that on the podcast for sure.
Well, he said expended rounds. Yeah. So hopefully they weren't live rounds.
Right. So, Matt, you just carried that round just now. How heavy is that? Even though it's fired.
This is girthy. To say. And it's kind of sharp. I mean, it's got a point to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely something that if you took it, could look almost like a vampire's tooth.
a silver stake.
Yeah.
I would not want to be on the
receiving end.
The opposite barrel of this.
Well, think about that. That comes out of a plane. And they shoot, and this is probably large, but like 1,000, yeah. And I want to say a second, but that's not true. I was an infantry grunt, so people asking me a lot of questions about this, and I'm like, I didn't fly a plane, I didn't shoot a plane, I don't particularly know the details.
Sure.
But think about this, and I did in Afghanistan hear one of these be fired on the side of a mountain. It sounded like a whale call. And it just looked like it exploded. And this is a bullet, not a bomb, so to see like just fire erupt shows the devastating power of
our
tap handle.
Like the size of a silver dollar.
You know,
around. 11 inches around is typical.
Oh, gosh.
When people see that initially at like festivals, they don't know what it is. They think it's other things for a while.
Right.
And you really realize how dirty of minds people have.
What? Okay.
Well, they ask where the batteries go, and
Ken's trying not to laugh.
I have to imagine only a man would ask that question because I don't think a girl would say,
yeah,
you know, I mean, what? I want.
Well,
I want that.
Well, I have the mentality. You know, you don't know who you're talking to. So I've seen some guys mention that the lady's just next to them. And I'm like, you're lucky you're not getting slapped or
right.
something. I'm like, it depends on the lady, but I'm not leading those comments.
So let's go back to veteran operator. Everyone's a veteran. Do you suppose that's a huge benefit to have when you compare to other breweries where they just, you know, hire not necessarily off the street per se, but different backgrounds. But for Veteran Beer Co., everyone's a veteran.
Yeah.
Everyone served their time however long.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a different kind of – obviously there's the camaraderie when you're actually serving. Do you think that kind of trickles over into Veteran Beer Co., that camaraderie of, you know
– Well, absolutely. And like to go back to the initial comment about, hey, why do I hire – should I hire a veteran than anyone else?
Yeah.
And I believe that about myself initially. And I said to other people, I think that's the way it was with veterans. But then working with veterans exclusively, sure. I have no doubt in my mind that that is it. Like, you give us a problem, we find a way. You know, we had our first charity here in Michigan was a USA Cares event we donated to.
Okay.
And they were getting product, and there's a legal way of doing that. And we went the legal way of doing it.
Sure.
But they were taking our product, and our distributor called me. The event was Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
They calls me on Friday, and I'm at the boat races down in Detroit.
Okay.
Watching
the hydroplane races.
I was working, but I was watching the show. And they call me to tell me, yeah, the hydro.
Yep.
And they call me and they're like, Greg, we're here with the truck. There's no one here to pick up the beer. They have no idea about veteran beer being here. No one has the money. They've been there for an hour. The truck's going to leave. And I said, we need to figure this out. I said, give me 5 minutes. He said, I can't. The driver's about to leave. I said, this is the first time I've heard of this.
Right.
And this is not just us. If this were an event and I wasn't selling beer, that's one thing. But this is a charity event. If they don't have product tomorrow, that's a bad event for them, and we can't allow that to happen. And later, they were talking about the people that run the company were mentioning how I'm one of the best reps they have and whatnot. And I don't know, you know, people say whatever. And I link it back to that when I didn't just accept the fact that, oh, you can't have the beer, no one's there. And so within 15 minutes, we had it resolved. The person came out, they were extremely apologetic, and the beer was at the event the next day. And because, you know, you just can't, and that's in life, they say, don't take no for an answer. But it's not just, you know, you run into a barrier, you find a way around it.
Right.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of people out there, not everyone, they don't look at it that way. They said, oh, you did the best you could. Well, and I didn't say, you need to do this. I said, give me 5 minutes and I'll figure this out. And that's what we did. Within, you know, it was a little longer than 5 minutes. It was within 15.
Sure,
we had it resolved.
Sure. So
go ahead, Matt.
Let's just talk kind of more about the principle. Like,
yeah,
where do you guys brew? How does that work out?
So right now we brew in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, and what we do is we lease or contract brew, whichever term. And every time we brew, we send out our master brewer to oversee the process. We do that because, you know, you guys know the industry. It'd be fine just to have them do it, but we want to ensure a higher class of product. Every single time we brew, whether it's in any of our brewing locations, we want it to be the exact same thing every single time. High quality, high class beer. And we contract brew compared to having a brew facility because, and I've seen it time and time again when I'm in meetings with my founder and CEO, it's amazing that he wants us to grow as quickly as possible and not because he wants to get rich, because right now I can guarantee you he's not making much money on this. Mm-hmm. But he wants to help as many veterans as he can.
Sure.
And he always reminds us it's about the beer first, because, you know, we're not a charity. We don't want to be Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, it is a business.
It is a business. Yep. But he wants to grow as quickly as possible, because the same year he decided to do this was the year that the statistic came out that 22 military people were committing suicide. I think an hour. I'm not
day.
The...
Jeez.
Day?
I thought it was the day.
You're probably right on that, either too. Way, I'm not a statistic
way, that's not...
Yeah, that's not good.
No, it's awful. And that's his mentality. And a lot of people believe, and I'm one of these, that the reason why that's happening is you get out and you say, now what? You start over. You have a family of people depending on you, and you feel worthless. Because I was infantry, and other than becoming a police officer or other things, which is great jobs, I felt like I had nothing else I could do. So I went to college, and then again, still, that's happening. I was 28, 29 getting out of college.
Yep.
And going in there, you know, now they want to give me starting positions, which, you know, you look at, you say, okay, you have all this military career. If I had not gone in the military, I would be this much further. And it became a hindrance.
Right.
You know, and that's what his mentality was by lease brewing compared to, you know, brick and mortar. Because then sometimes I wish we did, because you could always fall back on the brick and mortar. I look at some of these breweries and I say, man, if we just had that, you know, I could point to that and say, look how well we're doing there, you know, fall back on the brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. But then again, we wouldn't be in Michigan right now. We'd be growing our brick and mortar base out and then trying to expand off of that.
So are the people working in your leased buildings veterans then?
So whenever we can, we use disabled veteran-owned companies. And then if we can't do that, we use veteran-owned companies. And if we can't do that, we attempt to, whenever possible, to do veteran hiring first programs in with the people that we're working with. Mm-hmm. We try and put that right there in the contract. So we have this bottle opener. It's a 50 cal round. It was fired in combat, just like our tap handle. And this is made by a disabled veteran owned company.
Isn't that, I saw that on Shark Tank, didn't I?
It is a different company, I believe. Because people always say that, oh, that was on Shark Tank. That's really cool. Well, it's a different company. And the difference, too, I believe those are repurposed rounds where this was fired in combat, along with the same company makes that. And our T-shirt, our swag, the shirt you see me wearing, I wear a hat all the time. And that's all a disabled veteran-owned company that makes all that stuff for us. So that's awesome. Who we try to do work with first. You know, and again, they're in business. We're in business. We're not charities. They're not charities. But we try to help each other out to keep the bottom line low so that we can employ veterans.
Now, why did you pick Wisconsin? I would have thought that, based on your, you know, mission, a great place for you guys to start a brewery would be San Diego or North Carolina or Texas?
So initially, our home base is in Chicago. We distribute in Wisconsin and Minnesota. I believe we have a lease facility in Minnesota, but our beer that we pull from isn't from there, so I'm not saying that name often. And because it's a lease facility, it's not like if we had a brick and mortar, I would go visit and I'd stop in. And whenever we did our retreats, we would go there. It's also funny to see, like, on reviews and stuff, like Yelp and like all these review sites.
Sure,
people will still say they try to stop into our corporate, thinking it's a brewery, and they're saying this isn't a brewery; it's just a law firm. And sure, it's actually one of a veteran owned law firm that's a partner in our company. That's where our mailing office is. So you try to stop in there, so it's almost comical that they think that's the brew facility when it's not. We lease facilities,
and they think it's funny to complain about a law office.
Well, that's a whole different conversation as well.
So you kind of talk to us about your beer profiles, that you guys want that to keep beers middle of the road as opposed to straying too far.
Approachable.
Well, yeah. And so that was off before we got on. But yep. Each one of our beers, whenever we go to brew, we want it to be very top line, very, very good beers, but approachable to most people.
Right.
And when I go out and do sampling, so if people ever see samplings, normally it's me. I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. You know, I start with the Blonde Bomber. I go up with the Freedom Road. And then now I have the limited release beer, which I'd end with. But normally it's the Hooya IPA. And I always say, you know, each one of our beers, very good, very top line. But the best example of our approachability is our Hooya IPA. It's got that big up front IPA taste, but it doesn't linger like a lot of IPAs. Mm-hmm. So,
so as someone who doesn't like IPAs,
they should very much enjoy that.
It's more of a sessionable IPA.
Absolutely. This is a conversation, sure. Guys.
No. It's almost like we're on a podcast or a radio show.
Yeah, it'll cut me off anytime. I always say that once you get me wound up, I just keep going. So.
That's fine.
No,
we got an hour and 30 minutes. Just take us to 9 o'clock.
Oh man, I was looking forward to about 3, but I guess I'll tone it back a little.
We're working on trying to get 3 hours. Can we actually get a 3 hour?
We can go as long as we want.
Yeah, okay, yeah, today only we're going 3 hours. With Veteran Beer Company. Tune in.
There you go.
But so your IPA would be a session IPA to most. But I think you like that because you go into a VFW or an American Legion, those are people who are drinking yellow beer, and so they kind of want
to. The nice term I hear is a good walking around IPA, because some of the other terms, it doesn't always sound the nicest for your product. But it's still 7% alcohol. It's definitely an IPA. So people will try it. When I mention it like that, they're like, okay, I'll try it. And they'll get this cringe and they'll be like, oh, no, it's not for me. But it's still an IPA. The part is the back end. It doesn't linger with you as much. So what I always say is you can have it with a meal and still taste the meal. You can have two or three and not destroy your palate. Where another one, and actually I mentioned it to you guys off air, I tried a beer 2 days ago. And it wasn't just a clever name. It wrecked my palate. I only got about a quarter of the way through, and I couldn't keep drinking it.
And it was an $8 beer.
I just signed it and passed it back. I didn't look at the price, but most likely. Yeah.
No, Rob just passed the IPA.
This
around.
Completely just, it. I mean, from the nose, it smells every bit of an IPA. And, I mean, it is exactly like you said. Everything is up front. It's almost nothing in the back.
Well, and everyone wants to know, oh, what's it like? What's it like? And we always get told that it's a lot like Bell's Two Hearted, but without the aftertaste. I've never had anyone disagree with that, and I don't know if you should really ever throw in competitors' names. Competitors. We're all trying to drink, get our game on, you know, have a good time.
What do you think, Matt?
It's definitely milder.
I get more hops than malt, I think. So I think it's I could put that there. Just kind of maybe too hard without the malt.
Without the kick.
Yeah. That's what we see. You know, it's that. And a lot of people say that's, you know, if anything, you know, Bell's Two Hearted is what a lot of people consider the premier.
A rich person's version of Veterans Beer Company.
Yeah.
it's like you just call it Two Hearted.
Well, they can send a few dimes this way.
I want to look towards Ken here for a second. What did you think?
I didn't like it at all.
This is coming from the guy who doesn't like IPAs.
Well, and that's fine. You know, as you know, better on draft, you know, not every beer is for every person.
Yep.
So,
you know.
Well, if anybody comes to me looking to say, you know, should I drink this beer? That's a bad idea. In the first place, you should not ask me should I like this beer or not, because I'm going to tell you every single brown in the book to drink, or every single amber. Like, that Freedom Road is amazing. I love that.
Yeah, that is our highest awarded beer, I think, out of the rankings.
Another bottle needs to come this way, too.
We still got that blonde bomber that we have.
Reaching for her. I'm going to pop it open if anyone wants to.
We do have beer reviewers on our website, but that's the thing, at least for us here on this show. We have such an eclectic view of beer between all of us. We have people who like that dark, the deep and heavy, really, really bourbon-y beers like Rob does. You know, I like every beer that you can describe a woman with. Brown, amber, blonde. You know, Matt likes hams.
So. I like my beer like I like my Easter dinner.
Hams. And then you have Nick.
Who just decides to kill himself with Ice House.
He shows up with, I had a bad week, so I brought some Ice House.
Well, I mean,
we thought you had a bad week this week, because you brought some Modelo Especial.
What's wrong with Modelo Especial?
There's nothing wrong with Modelo, but I'm just having to find that the veteran Beer Co. stuff is a lot more enjoyable right now.
Okay.
Yeah. I got that 20 for you after the show.
Yeah. Nice.
Now, I know... When it comes to overseas, my thought is there's one large brewer that puts all their beer in military installations overseas. Have you approached the government to get your veteran beers into bases and stuff like that? Or
that's outside my pay grade.
Okay.
But you guys,
are at Selfridge. You guys,
are in Selfridge. You're welcome.
How do you guys do there?
We do very well. I got us into Selfridge. Actually, Faye, if you're listening, you got us into Selfridge. You're amazing. She's the beer buyer in Selfridge Air Force Base. And normally you have to get mandated. It's like chains. You have to get mandated down from corporate. That's the same thing for Selfridge, mm-hmm. for the government. But they are able to get local beers
like
in.
Special local exception type things.
Yeah, and being what we are, we were able to get the exception. Right. So there's the paperwork. We have to fill all this stuff out and send in statistics and all this. And they said, okay, send it in as that and we'll approve it. And so they approved it from corporate down, but saved us all the analytics that we would have had to do. But actually, I went to yesterday, the National Defense Industry Expo, which was at Macomb Community College.
Okay.
Yesterday, I stopped in for a little while. Why not? Veteran owned company. And I met a few people that there's a lot of tools just for training to get people out there, like what you said, because I wouldn't know where to start. So that's more on my the CEO, Peter Jenkins, in the company. He does a lot of that. But I'm going to stop in next week, a free course. They're going to train us up, and you know, if we can hit it on every angle. And like you said, if we can get out to bases and know all these other things, you know, just the goal is to ideally people be drinking the beer that enjoys it and be doing a good cause and be helping veterans along the way.
I would think even if you get beers to – I mean, when people are – you know, in country, you know, they have that taste of home that they want. And I mean, I've been to Germany. I know you're not going to get an IPA in Germany or an amber in Germany. You'll get a dark, you know, half a dark Hefe. But even just the name, you know, if you're on Rammstein or any of those bases where you Korea, Japan.
Before we go out there, you know, it should be a no-brainer to ideally get us in the bases and whatnot here. Around here, there's plenty of people that want to drink good beer and want to support a cause as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, you know, something that we're looking into. We're always looking to expand, so that'll be a lot of fun. And one thing, I you know, if you guys don't mind, I'd like to kind of plug or talk about too.
Go for it.
You know, we launched in Michigan 4th of July weekend of last year, and since then we've donated to seven charity events in that amount of time. And one is actually, it's going to be our 8th. It's Vets Returning Home Country Concert Series. It's May 6th. That charity, Vets Returning Home, is takes homeless veterans off the street, mm-hmm. gets them cleaned up, gets them a place to live, and helps them find work, gets back out into the community. I think they do about 140 veterans back into society a year.
Nice.
Which that's the charity I point to and I say, that's why we do this. Because mm-hmm. we can't hire everybody, which we wish we could. There's some people that just need help. That's why we donate.
Yeah.
And that's the charity that is near and dear to me. Luckily, I looked out for them. They couldn't work with us. And then they reached out to me, which was great. Another one that's really cool, I believe I mentioned the USA Cares one as our first one. But we also donate to Warrior Hockey, which is disabled veterans. They go
sled
out.
Sled hockey, right?
No.
Or is it? actual like hockey. Yes.
Yeah. Oh. They play the first one we donated to for them was Warrior Hockey versus the Alumni Red Wings. And then the next one was the Thin Blue Line. They played against the Detroit PD. And so it's disabled veterans getting out on the ice. And I think that's a really cool one as well. The one is like, yeah, this is one you know is helping vets, which this is too, but it keeps them active, gets them out in the community. And that one's a lot of fun. So those are two that I really, really enjoy. And we do work with the USA Cares, which helps veterans and their families. That one is so far once a year, but that's a really good one as well. But those two charities is pretty
cool.
Matt,
I think you're thinking Paralympics, like Paralympic hockey, which
is
sled
hockey. I know. I mean, sled hockey. I don't know what that's technically called. Is it just called sled hockey?
I don't know if there's an official term, but I know what you're talking about in regards to like that they're sitting down as opposed to actually skating on the ice.
Almost like wheelchair basketball, but for hockey.
Yeah. I wouldn't be opposed to trying to help that group if they were around the one where it was appropriate, because beer is not appropriate at every event. And that's what we try to do is legally do it the way where we can donate product. So that if it's appropriate for an event, they can either sell it or they can. That's a cost that they don't have to do. They don't have to take on for themselves. Like the Country Concert Series, they have people come in. There's Joey V. I think this one, the next one's Ray Scott, and I want to look up the next guy's name because I'm not a country fan, unfortunately. Joe Nichols is the national performer that's going to be there, and they're going to be selling our beer. So that's now, you know, we're donating it, and all the money that they're like almost double dipping, which is cool. And I think you're going to say, why do we do that one if I don't like country?
No. Oh, I was that's not what I
it was like a why.
Not at all.
No, it's a great event, and I'm learning to love country from what I hear.
You gotta take it in small doses.
It's anything. I'm a music fan in general.
Sure.
So.
I mean, for me personally, I'll throw it out. You know, I'll listen to I don't know, like Luke Bryan.
You're a better man than I am.
Right. Well, you does your girlfriend?
Am I not going to see you at the concert then?
I'll go.
I'll
go.
I mean, the beer's free. You said, right?
No, you're buying the beer, which
goes
to an amazing cause.
To a donation.
Come on, meow.
Can't donate if you don't pay.
As the example, the USA Cares event, which is a car show, it's a motorcycle ride, but the ticket's more expensive, and alcohol is included. But again, that's money they would have spent on beer that they get for free now, then, and it drops their cost. So now everything that goes into it is more going into
Is that kind of a loophole, whereas you're giving away the beer so you don't have to charge for it, so technically it's a donatable kind of thing?
Do we think we have any beer? Anyone listening in? Am I going to be kicking in my door? I can explain the way that it really happens. So what we have to do is you can't legally in Michigan give away free product. So what we do is they have to purchase the product for us, and then we donate that money back. So it's a partnership that way. It's like the exact same thing. And hopefully the liquor law people don't call me and say, well, that's not the right way. But as far as I've heard, all the rules and regulations, that's how you do it. They buy the beer, so they need a special license and things like that to either give it away or
well, as long as somebody purchases the beer, it doesn't matter how they distribute it between other people. So as long as – because like we have coming up next Sunday now, not Saturday, but next Sunday, May 7th, we're going to be doing a beer giveaway over at Boffin because we purchased a keg, and because we purchased it, we can do whatever we want with it as long as...
Is Boffin the same as Baffin? Because I always...
Yes. He can't pronounce it.
Baffin.
Is that... when is
Baffin
that again?
Brewing. Next Sunday.
So not in 2 days. I live right down from there, so I want to stop.
We're going to be doing it at 1 o'clock at Baffin Brewing.
Oh, 1?
Mango Unchained.
Seis de Mayo.
Which is Seis de Mayo, which will be given away. We bought an entire keg, so we're just going to be giving it away to whoever shows up.
What? Wouldn't it be Siete de Mayo?
That's the 7th.
Yeah, it's the 7th of May. Now.
I thought it was going to be on the 6th.
Yeah, we just pushed it back.
We changed it to Sunday. Ooh. Remember how I just said now Sunday, not Saturday?
He even led with Sunday. No, he didn't.
Yeah, you didn't give me the Pontiac Silverdome thing at the end, so that I would have really got it.
Are you ready?
$10 for a seat, but you only need the urge.
We need Roof Buster to be like, it's time. That's all I got for like overly produced microphone work.
Real quick, we're gonna take a break here in a couple minutes, but you're coming up on your 1 year anniversary in Michigan. What kind of plans, goals, ideas do you have for your second year? And what does Veterans Beer have planned for 2017?
So it was great to launch for 4th of July weekend, and you know, you guys seem to, you know, the industry quite a bit. So it was great. We launched for 4th of July weekend, I can say that. The unfortunate thing was we launched right on 4th of July weekend. We had no build into it. So it was kind of like, hey, let's drop a lot of product on the front steps and, you know, hope it moves.
I know it was in my sales plan.
Yeah, so this time around, what we're looking to do, and we started prior, but really this week we're really pushing out to accounts. So you're going to find us this month coming in. We're going to be beer of the month in a lot of locations. We're going to be, our signage is going to be on the door. You'll hopefully hear about us a lot more leading into these big holidays. And as an example, Shores Inn brought us in last year in St. Clair Shores for Veterans Day, which, you know, is almost seems like a no-brainer. And they did amazing with the product for Veterans Day. So I followed up with them and I stopped in and I said, you did really, really well. And they said, yeah, we did really, really well. And I was like, well, would you like to take us on tap or maybe bring in some more bottles? He said, absolutely not.
What?
Oh.
And I said, all right, can I ask you why? And I love honest people. I love honest people. He said, yeah, I brought you in for Veterans Day. It's December. What can I promote with it? And not them. Another account a couple weeks ago actually said, Greg, if it's about the charity, I'll just write an effing check.
Really?
And I said, well, no, they're being honest. And I said, you're absolutely right, because we're not a charity. We give to charities. So ideally, you've got to like the product to be able to sell it to your people.
Sure.
But you also got to be able to promote it. So actually, 2 days ago, I went back in to St. Clair Shores, the Shores Inn, and I actually reminded them of that story. And I said, you know, I didn't have a good answer for you in December of last year, but I got a good answer now. You got Memorial Day coming up. Yeah, 4th of July weekend. And you've got Veterans Day on the heels of that. And you know, if you're going to be promoting any other beer that changes their name to America, or this month we're going to give $1 per per bottle, per case, whatever, because we want to sell more beer. I said, this is one you can do and you can feel confident and know that you're doing the right thing, because we do this all year long, no matter there's the holiday. But nice. If you're looking for something to promote, why would you do anything else? And he said, you're absolutely right. And he's bringing us in.
Now, when someone says, you know, if it's about the charity, let me just write you a check. Why don't you just say, don't write me a check, write your beer driver a check, and he'll drop you a keg of beer.
Well, what he was saying.
Just be a smart ass back is what I'm saying.
Well, no, he wasn't saying like, I'll write you a check. He's like, I'll write a charity a check. And I like where you're going with this. And I'll say, write me the check, and then you'll be a pallet out front.
So, there you go.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with a Better on Draft podcast. And we are back. Episode 81 of the Better on Draft podcast.
Whoop, whoop.
As always, we still have Greg here. He didn't run away. We appreciate
yet.
That.
That's good. Well, I don't know. They veterans don't run away. They
no,
they
dead on. That's right. So I'll be here. It'll be 10 o'clock at night. Everyone will be gone. I'll be holding down the fort. Holding down the fort.
Actually, I'll get a call from the owners of the studio. You know, someone's still in the studio. Like, actually, I couldn't get rid of them. You could try.
I think got my Twitch.
We've got a sales call across the street when we're done, and we're actually going to replace the keg with some veterans in the kegerator up here in the front. So
please,
I think we just did two sales.
There you go.
I like that.
So
I like that.
As always, with segment two, it's Rob with the news.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah. Are you unprepared?
Go.
I'm always prepared.
I didn't say prepared. Or you said, are you unprepared?
No, I'm prepared. With like 3 hours.
Are you getting a little nervous that your Pittsburgh Steelers are almost on the clock?
We're not on the clock for another 10 picks, 20 picks. Anyway.
Yeah, let's try to get them razzed up a little bit because of the Steelers.
As always, we start off with, you know, or at least sometimes try to start off with some stuff in the D is we have probably already heard about the news coming from Founders.
Yeah, the big one.
And the fact that Founders is coming into the city of Detroit.
Yep.
They're going to be setting up shop in a tap room that they're basically going to kind of build outright. It's going to be in Cass Corridor, as, of course, they call it. And, you know, Jack White calls it, but everybody else calls it Midtown. It's going to be situated on Charlotte Street, basically between Martin Luther King Drive and Temple. What's kind of funny with it is that in one block in either direction, you've got Masonic Temple. And then on the other side of that being 8 Degrees Plato. Within, you know, the mile or half mile radius, you've got Jolly Pumpkin, Motor City Brewing, Hop Cat, You know, you go down the street, you've got Batch, you've got Atwater.
You even have a mainstay from the show Detroiters.
Traffic Jam.
You've got Traffic Jam.
Temple Bar.
And, you know, all of this being right situated right next to the pizzeria. So.
The pizza pizzeria?
The pizza pizzeria. Hockey.
Oh, God.
So. Basically, apparently they've been looking for a space for a little bit, and you know, finally they've settled on what they're going to have here. Obviously, it's going to be the first tap room. It's going to be outside of Grand Rapids, and I kind of think it'd be kind of interesting if they decide to use the salt mines. If the temperature is well enough down there that they start brewing some KBS down in the salt mines.
They do have some gypsum mines down on in Jefferson.
Oh, well, there you go.
Sure, there's a lot of unused bootlegger tunnels that they could probably find.
Oh, yeah,
too.
Sure. Basically, it's expected to employ about 100 people. Construction is going to start this summer. And estimated that they're going to have about 200 barrels of beer that will be made there per year. Overall, I guess cost-wise, acquisition and build-out is estimated at about $5 million.
Got that San Miguel money.
Now, it's interesting that, you know, kind of just I'm perusing through this Cranes article that's talking about this. One person does kind of stand out in this article that I know of, that I've heard of, is Sue Mosey. She's the executive director of Midtown Detroit. Very active in trying to get Midtown to look a lot better than what it was probably, say, about maybe 10 years ago.
Right.
As you probably are aware, if you've been downtown recently, there's a huge resurgence of redevelopment and revitalization in Midtown, that Wayne State area, a lot of small businesses. Mm-hmm. And I would say that this kind of fits in with that a little bit.
It does. It's still...
To an extent, we all have our own feelings about Founders and craft beer.
Because Founders is craft beer?
Why are you looking at me?
I wasn't looking at you. I was just
it's not like they're mead makers, okay?
No.
I'm personally, I'm happy that they're showing up and they're coming down.
It's,
I guess the other half of me, though, is that area used to be, although albeit being a small area, that used to be Chinatown. And
there used to be a Detroit Chinatown?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you know that?
No.
When Rob says it was small, it was really small. It was fucking small. It was
small.
One block.
But so that's not Chinatown. That's China Block.
No.
Come on. Let's not turn Taiwan into China.
China parcel.
So what,
is that what we're going for?
I guess you know, if we wanted a Detroit history lesson, they were trying to start like a Chinatown in Detroit. It didn't really transpire into anything. There are definitely remnants of what used to be a Chinatown in the area of where they were trying to start this. Mm-hmm. And it never really got anywhere.
So I guess, my question is, someone who hasn't read this, is this going to stay along the Woodward Spine?
It's one block away.
So I guess my thought is downtown becoming like Arena District and then Midtown becoming Beer Hipster District then? Are they kind of like separating themselves as, if you're going to go downtown, it's going to be casinos and sports. You go to Midtown for beer. Punch Bowl is still kind of downtown, but there's Hopcat.
Punch Bowl's downtown.
Yeah.
Downtown goes
Punch
all the
Bowl's
way.
Punch Bowl's social downtown, but Hopcat's more closer to Midtown.
Midtown, yeah.
Well, I thought Hopcat is in the middle of Midtown, because that's right across from Wayne State, right? Or is that UDM right there?
It's a few blocks away.
A couple blocks away.
Because, I mean,
there's that Whole Foods right across from the Hopcat. Right?
Sort of. It's a couple more blocks and across the street.
Whole Foods is a couple more blocks south.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like when I lived in Ohio, I think at this point that should be a bingo square. They had districts for their downtown. They had a casino district. They had an arena district. They had a bar district. And I think that's kind of one of the things I would hope that while we're rebuilding our downtown, midtown, and into neighborhoods areas, we can kind of populate them with like businesses so they can grow. I mean, We have Greek Town. We've got Downtown. We've got Midtown.
Mexican Town, Boston Edison, Springwells,
Corktown.
Corktown.
Like, but, you know, I don't really
Lafayette
know. Like,
Park.
But you know what? I don't know what's Indian in Village. Lafayette. I know those are neighborhoods, but what else is there?
I don't know what they're going to call it. Because, I mean, we already, well, pretty much when they established Rivertown. When they established the Pizza Arena, that basically that area was going to be called
the district.
The district. The district. No, the District Detroit, you know, from the Department of Redundancy Department, that they had to throw the city name in the damn district. And, I mean, as far as that, it feels like they're going to be pushing that a little bit further north, and that will be the new name of Midtown almost.
So let's turn this over to Greg for a second. Yes. I don't know how often you return or visit downtown Detroit. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the whole revitalization and now this recent addition, Founders, coming into the neighborhood?
I'm always in the belief that one, revitalization is a great thing, but the term, rising tide brings up all ships. You know, the more we bring into these areas, and I like what you said about, like, you know, having a lot of like places. And, you know, I live near St. Clair Shores, so I go down to Baffin and quite a few places around there. And they're opening up quite a few breweries and stuff, you know, right there downtown. Yeah. And people are like, oh, well, that's going to really take away from their business. And I think that's going to make it so it's a spot for people to go to, and you're going to jump around. And now when people think of it, they'll say, oh, I'll go there. And, you know, now it's not just, okay, I go to one spot, and then when you get bored of it, you have to leave and go to another town. You can go there. And that's what makes me think of this, you know, Founders thing, whatever you think of Founders. Ideally, that makes more people want to go and more people around the, you know, once you're in there, me, I don't stay at one place all night. I jump around. Right. So I love the idea of that. And whenever they want to partner with Veteran Beer Company and
one other one that I forgot about, I forgot to mention, obviously, you know, going to be opening soon, hopefully, being Eastern Market Brewing Company.
There's actually 5 opening up in Detroit.
Oh, well, there you go.
You got Founders, Eastern Market. You got Brewery Faison, which I believe is owned by the same people who own Detroit Institute of Bagels. You have Black Bottom, which is opening up in, I believe, Corktown.
Do they make the world go round? Do their girls make
no? That's Fat Bottom, not Black Bottom.
Fat Bottom girls.
I don't even want to know you right now.
And then you also have Bent Rim Brewhouse, which Faison and Bent Rim are opening up over by the Heidelberg.
Oh,
so wow, that's interesting. Super different.
Yeah, it's not. It's not in any major area. Like you got Atwater, which is in Riverfront. You've got Rivertown. Sorry, you
Eastern
have
Market and Eastern Market.
Eastern Market and Eastern Market. You got Batch. Black Bottom and then Brew Detroit are all going to be in Corktown. So the breweries are starting to definitely branch out a little more. And, you know, a lot of them, especially because the queue line only goes on Woodward. So you're not going to be easily getting to, you know, if they could get a secondary line that takes Michigan Ave too, that would be great.
Oh, goodness.
Or Gratiot?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Except Gratiot, like, once you go past like the 75 off ramp at Eastern Market, there's not really much on Gratiot to go to.
Oh, there's a lot there, but you just don't want to.
There's just
there.
A lot of adventure. We'll just put it that way.
Well, you can get shot on 1 mile road.
Well, it's not necessarily like a danger aspect, is the fact that there's just nothing to
there.
Do on Gratiot.
Well, I sometimes think of it as a danger aspect. I don't know if you're thinking of it. I don't want to get into a war zone. I fought my battles. No.
Because I've driven down Gratiot from like where 75 gets off right at Gratiot all the way to 94 because I live right over there, and there's just nothing to do there. There's a Wendy's, there's a Burger King, and there's a few dollars.
There's
stores.
A Long John Silver's.
Is there a Long John
Silver's? Delicious.
Hell yeah, there is.
Me some hush puppy.
And there's a Wheat 420 over there too.
There's a lot of marijuana stores on Gratiot. That's for sure.
Goodness. All right.
How do you hit them all? I don't know.
Oh, you only hit the ones that are
taste
still
the
open.
Rainbow, son. Taste the rainbow.
All right. Metro Times came out with their best of Detroit list. No peeking for those who are in the document because I went
already peaked.
I figured.
I've not peaked.
All right. Well, I'm gonna get your reaction to these because obviously every year the weekly magazine comes up with this best of Detroit. They tabulate all the votes and publish their best of Detroit issue, which just came out, and one of their annual selections was on best drinks. So this basically covers, the 5 county area, because I believe it is Wayne, Oakland, Macomb, Washtenaw, and I think Livingston.
Okay.
Right.
So this list here, this is just covering the entire area. So best beer selection in a store, congrats, going to 8 Degrees Plato.
Okay.
Best craft beer, Bell's.
That's a weird. Like, how do you choose that? Like, how was that a decision?
What is that based on?
They probably what gets sold the most.
I think it's just because I mean it's supposed to be based on votes. So I mean, basically, when they start the tabulation, they have an issue that just has the list, and it just says, "All right, best craft beer." You write it in, and then you mail that sheet off to Metro
Who
Times.
Mails things.
So they I don't know. Apparently, or maybe you can do it online. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've actually.
So you're saying it's rigged.
It's been a long time since I've actually paid attention.
Yeah,
full circle.
Back to TRL. Every time.
Damn you, Carson Daly.
Best
one comment.
Best meadery, B Nectar.
That's not surprising.
Best microbrewery or brew pub is Batch.
No comment.
Cricket. Cricket.
This next one's so big.
Best Michigan beer.
Get the fuck out of here.
Stroh's.
Oh, God.
All right, so I'd like to lodge a complaint.
Where do you even
where
begin?
Where do we start? Yeah.
Complaint department calling.
Metro Times, we're calling you out.
Is
hold on, you just got
hipsters?
Put on hold. The complaint department just put you on hold.
Yeah, but you.
Ken just typed in here, this is fucking so fucking bad.
That was my response to Stroh's being
Go ahead, Matt.
The best Michigan.
Is this just like hipsters being hipsters?
I mean, if hipsters were being hipsters, then.
Hipsters got a hip.
It'd be Pibber.
Look.
Hipsters got a
no,
hip.
Hold on.
I mean,
it's best Michigan
beer.
Wait a sec. Hold on. Let me. Hipsters,
but it's the new Stroh's, right? Not the old.
But let's say the hipsters are going to drink the old Stroh's. They're not going to drink the new Stroh's.
Does that mean I'm a hipster?
No.
Oh, okay. Darn.
But I know what hipsters drink because I used to live down in Midtown, and that's what
Bingo.
A lot of the hip.
I know,
that in the I column.
I know there's probably practically anything we can think of.
Yeah,
including everything on this table. But what would you consider as best Michigan beer?
Bet.
You ready?
Go for it.
All day IPA Founders. Best there. Michigan beer.
Yeah.
Most solid, most sold. I think it's I don't like it at all.
And he hates IPAs and that
you know.
But when I think Michigan beer,
on,
and I remove all seasonals from that list.
Fair.
Let me make a comment about this. This is Metro Times. Metro Times is only seen in like those five counties you talked about.
Right.
Should it really be focusing on those facilities in the five counties? When you think about it,
I mean, a lot gets distributed in these five.
I mean,
counties.
Yeah, but Bell's is not. In these five counties, it's not located. You can definitely get it in the five counties, but you can't go to, I don't know, Williamston and get, you know, go to a Bell's facility.
I mean, if your ass is in Williamston, you know
you
should be
getting
it. You
better
anyway.
Know what you be getting out in Williamston.
Damn right.
But the fact of the matter is that, you know, Metro Times, it's in the five main counties. You're Wayne, Oakland, Macomb, Livingston, Washtenaw. It shouldn't really be focusing on the facilities inside those five counties.
Well, was that one for best Michigan beer?
Best Michigan beer.
Well, best Michigan beer.
I guess that would be your exception.
But yeah. And that's what I'm saying is that
I agree
this,
with the Michigan part.
I mean, and that's the thing is that for this section on best drinks, it didn't mention because there's so many different sections in there, like best bars and best place to go hang out, and all that stuff was separated by counties. For this part, for best drinks, overall, there was no partitioning of anything. It was just here's the best craft beer, period, based on votes that came in.
Yeah, but I mean, you have 8 Degrees, and 8 Degrees is a great place, but you know. There are better beer stores like Zatuna Liquor over in Rochester Hills.
There it is.
8 Degrees. That's the one in Ferndale?
There's
and
one
Detroit.
In Ferndale, one
oh,
in Detroit.
Okay. Okay.
And
did they determine which or both?
They basically, in the article, they listed both addresses.
Okay.
So they just listed them as a whole.
Right. So, you know, the thing is that, sure, that's great. You can go get beer, and it's a beer, you know, best beer selection in a store. But all those beers you can get at Zatuna Liquor.
Right.
And you could get a lot more at Zatuna Liquor, not just the beer. So maybe it's because they have a draft and Zatuna Liquor doesn't have a draft system yet.
Mm-hmm.
Hint, hint, Jack.
Ooh. Oh.
I'll just post up right there.
But that's the thing, though, is that you have other great stores out there, and it 8 Degrees is just, I think it's just the thing to say because that's what the craft beer store is when, you know, you should look for more in a beer store than just beer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is that, again, was voted on by people or is it by volume sold?
That was voted on by people.
By people.
Okay.
Yeah. A couple notables in here, which I thought was kind of weird. This one I thought was weird was best sports bar being Wolverine State Brewing. I thought that was kind of odd being the best sports bar for a place that makes their own beer. I guess that I don't know. I thought it was weird.
Yeah, it doesn't really seem to fit the criteria in regards to what a
sports bar.
I've never been to Wolverine State, so obviously it could be this hidden gem that I've never seen or heard before.
There's not that many TVs in there. It's maybe there's like maybe three or four TVs.
But there's so many different bars in Detroit. There's so many different bars out there. Tommy McGee's, that'd be a great sports bar, especially because One-Eyed Betty's. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They play all sports, including being open to show soccer or football.
Oh, yeah.
Football.
First thing in the morning. Yeah.
Footy.
Hey, the English called it soccer first, so, you know.
So that's the thing, though, is that you have so many different places that you can watch sports, that have more options, that probably have more and better food.
Right.
So, you know, and then, of course, probably the next choice.
I was going to throw this out there for Matt to see if he can guess what was the best draft selection in Macomb County.
Oh, Macomb County draft selection.
Because this place tastes so good to me. It would be Brown Iron Brewing House in Washington Township, Michigan at 27 in Van Dyke.
There it is.
With their new peaches and cream. Hefeweizen?
Yes.
Somebody should. Did somebody in marketing not check that before it went out?
I don't think it's the first time they've ever had a peaches and cream.
Okay,
but the first time that.
It's the S, the L, the I, the M will tell you what he wants to do.
What a nerd.
For those of you who are unaware, he's singing 112 Peaches and Cream.
Oh, anyone that was,
2004 called it wants its song.
No, 2001, I think, might have called.
Oh, yeah, no, it's 2001. You're right. Yeah.
Left it on your voice, your answering machine.
That might have been a AOL Instant Messenger away message.
I cannot.
The
believe.
S, the L, the I, the M. Oh, my God.
The Shady.
How did that just happen?
You've got mail.
Right. All right. I'm gonna steal kind of a bit of your question one of five questions.
You don't know my question number one.
Yeah, I know I don't, but I'm going to do a little bit of geography. It was an article that came out from the Telegraph mapping which countries consume the most beer per capita.
Got this one.
Oh, I think I know this one, too. Isn't it like Latvia?
Wrong.
Or...
Give me one of the top five, then.
Czech Republic.
I was going to say it's some Yugoslavic.
Czech Republic is number one.
Yeah.
Bam.
I was going to say, it's some Slavic.
At 142.4 liters
my
per
people drink
capita.
My people drink our fluids.
Good
they
Lord.
Drink your fluids.
The going U.S. is not in the top 10
is
at
Japan
all.
Japan on that top five?
Japan is not.
China?
Seychelles is number two. Austria at 3, Germany at 4, Namibia at 5.
They have water in Namibia?
Seychelles?
Seychelles.
Okay.
I don't know, Seychelles.
Seychelles. The African nation.
I don't know.
The hell?
I don't know how I feel about this.
I don't either.
There's so many undertones that we could be discussing right now.
Don't get me started about African countries. That
Namibia?
I'm apparently some...
How does Zamunda do? Or Zambia?
Zamunda did not make the top 10 either.
Oh, did Zambia?
Rounding up top or the top 10 was Poland, Ireland, Lithuania, Belize, and Romania.
You weren't even in the top 8 there, Ken.
No, I knew exactly. It was a Slavic country. I just didn't remember which one it was.
Well, my people, I got this.
Your people. Well done. One just completely out of the, you know, what the hell are
Chile?
You doing?
That was kind of out there.
Seychelles? It's Island.
Oh, I thought you meant The Chiles.
Seychelles.
No,
Seychelles.
I thought you were saying
it's an
Chile.
African nation. It's north of Madagascar in the...
No, I got that. I saw that Indiana. On the ocean.
Yeah. It's a black thing. All right, let's move on.
When you say...
Notice, folks, the black man said that.
Yeah, it's my... Anyway.
I was going to say, I just realized you match the...
He blends in.
Oh, yeah, kind of blends in with the sound tiles.
Man,
yeah.
That's messed up.
That, right.
Well, his shirt's black and green with the Detroit.
Oh, I got it.
Detroit flag.
Yeah. I got it.
I don't know what you're talking about, Greg.
Anyway, South Dakota man was arrested Sunday. After he risked his life by running back into an apartment building in hopes to save his beer.
I heard about this.
Fire broke out inside his building in Sioux Falls around 12:30 in the afternoon, injured three people. As firefighters were working to try and put out the fire, this guy decided to run in not once but twice.
Twice?
How many beers did he leave behind?
His blood alcohol level was at .082. Was arrested and charged with obstruction, violating a 24/7 sobriety program. Okay. And this is pretty much what he came out with on the second time, because I don't know if he actually came out the first time. But on the second time, he came out.
Well, he clearly came out the first time if he went in.
He came out. He went back in, and he came back out with two, I guess you could say, highly sought-after cans of Delectable Bud Ice.
Now, these better have been 24 ounces, because if this is coming out with like 12 ounces, that guy's got a problem.
So I'm curious if South Dakota has Sunday sales laws, because this was a Sunday at 12:30, and what if he's out of beer?
Right.
Well, I mean, it's a fire. I'm pretty sure he's out of beer.
So an interesting thing about this article is that the Sioux Falls police tweeted out a photo.
Did they really?
It's a picture of SpongeBob with the meat in meme format saying, "So you are telling me the structure was on fire, he was ordered to stay out, and he ran back in for his beer when the Sioux Falls Police Department and Sioux Falls Fire Response were there already. Right when you think you have heard it all, hashtag under arrest."
Yep.
But hold on. So he got arrested it sounded like he got arrested earlier for impeding them putting out the fire. But now he got arrested.
Oh, no, he didn't put anything out.
He impeded with them putting out the fire.
Yeah.
But it sounds like there's a law that you can't be drunk during the day in South Dakota.
Well, he was.
Remind me to never go to South Dakota.
He should have left his house. Then he should have stayed.
No, it's an apartment.
It sounds like he was on some type of probation.
Yeah, he was on because he violated a 24/7 sobriety program, so he shouldn't have been drinking in the first place. But I guess if the roof is on fire and there's something that
we don't need no Bud Ice, like the motherfucker.
We don't need any Bud Ice, but there's something in there that if you knew you could make it out, what are you running?
Come on, question: was this person a penguin? Doobie doobie doo.
Oh gosh. So I really quickly, I just typed in South Dakota 24/7 sobriety program. This actually is a program for chronic DWI offenders.
Oh my god.
Chronic.
That's such a shame that exists. That right. That
this
phrase.
Is and the thing is
chronic
this is,
DWI.
And this has been going on. Started as a pilot program since January 2005. So this has been going on for a little over 12 years.
My head hurts.
All right. We'll get into this one.
Thanks, House Bill 1072.
So a brewery from northern L.A. is attempting to set up shop in San Fran, Oakland area called Golden Road Brewing. Founded in 2011. And they're planning on opening up a location in Oakland, which would pretty much put in blocks of another brewery, which hopefully I get to visit in a couple of weeks, is Temescal Brewing Company, which only opened a year ago, but apparently has gotten a huge following with their beers. And I may have to get some pictures of this, but their tap room is themed in Saved by the
Bell.
Is it
like Max's Diner?
Saved by the
what?
Bell.
What?
Yeah, it is a Saved by the Bell themed tap room.
They better have Saved by the Bell themed beers then. Zach's Blonde Lock Ale.
Boom, right there.
I guess we will see.
Did you ever watch the unofficial biography on
that Dustin Diamond did on VH1? Yeah.
The Dustin Diamond double IPA.
I did. I did.
Oh, I could do this all day.
I'm sure you could.
Is it a Christmas ale that comes with a knife?
No, it's a...
What's the Lisa Turtle going to be?
No, it's the... I'm so excited, espresso stout.
I think I've actually...
Wow, that's a deep cut Saved by the Bell reference with Jesse Spano over there. Does it have caffeine in it?
No, somebody actually made, I believe it's called I'm So Excited, I'm So Scared, and it has a like this poorly drawn picture of Jesse on there.
I don't know what... I can't remember. Just find that for me.
I got to look that up. Oh, somebody made that.
Well, while you find that, here's something for you. Here we go.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, let's,
goodness.
Yeah, that's never works.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so the problem with Golden Road is, of course, it's not your ordinary craft brewer because they aren't a craft brewer. Uh-oh. Because they are fully owned by ABI.
So hold on, this is almost like a beer theme park, then, is where I take it. Because, like, Disney World is owned by Disney or ABC Corporation, and it's just... You can go ride Harry Potter rides and all that other stuff. Here you go to a Budweiser theme park that's based off something else.
So it's basic. It's obviously, yeah. It's ABI just kind of fronting his craft. Here's your craft brewery. So this article I brought up or I looked at, it was from wearebrewstuds.com, and the author Chauncey Jackson is basically giving the opinion that, you know, essentially wanting to tell ABI to take their shit elsewhere. Saying that Belgio-Brazilian run multinational just wants to use Golden Road Brewing to lie to people of the East Bay to fool them into believing they are bringing great craft beer to this proud city. Basically, the point of his piece is that he only wants craft beer in the city. And also pointed out that apparently Google was trying to move into the Oakland area back in 2014, and the city and its
said, no, we want
citizens didn't want anything to do with that, and basically Google left. So, I mean, it's kind of their thought that if we can stop Google, we can stop ABI.
So
can they?
No.
And should they even bother?
No, you're comparing apples and oranges in regards to Google versus Anheuser-Busch. They're two completely different organizations.
It wasn't Apple.
Sorry, did I say Apple?
You said apples and oranges, but it's not Apple.
I see what you did there.
This guy right here.
I see what he did there.
Nice.
So, you know, Google, and as you mentioned it in the article, is that, you know, when a company like Google comes in, the property rates rise, everything rises just because it's such a huge company.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Anheuser-Busch, they're just bringing some small town brewery called Golden Road, which they're just setting up a shop in there where they're not going to be hired. It's probably not going to be even as big as the Detroit Founders. So with that in mind, you're not going to be hiring thousands of people. You're not going to be bringing in people with loads of money into the city. But again, where do you draw the line of craft versus non-craft? Like, I'm pretty much done with the whole Founders isn't craft jokes, just because it's gotten old and it's...
Are you going to hang it up with my cherry juice?
Yeah, I'm going to hang it up with your cherry juice right next to it for sure.
That should have hung up 2 months ago.
It should have hung up the day after it happened. So, but that's the thing, though, is that you have this brewery they're opening, and that's it. Whoever owns it, it doesn't really matter at this point as long as they produce good beer, and if they don't, they're going to go under.
I think if they just do what I said and consider it like a Saved by the Bell theme park brewery, that's the best way to do it. People understand that's what it is because, okay, you know, no brewery is going to be able to have the ability to pair with something so nostalgic to, you know, late 20-somethings as ABI. So they're doing something just like Disney does, just like MGM, just like Universal Studios do. They take something everybody loves, they make a ride or some sort of amusement park attraction around it. That's all they're doing right here. So just I'm kind of getting tired of the whole – it's not like that I said I'm going to go out and drink a dirty 30 of Busch Light tomorrow, which I might. But I really just wish these – you know, we don't want a big corporation in our area. People just need to tap the brakes there.
Right.
Yeah,
right?
But and exactly, why not start doing these things in places where people actually want you? You know, why are you going to go to a place like with that? It's annoying and I hate to hear it, but why are they wasting their time in an area that
doesn't want the help doesn't need the help, you know.
Yeah, like, you said it's in Oakland, though?
We're comparing Oakland slash the Bay Area to where...
You're right,
You know, if it, you could even say Detroit versus Troy. You know, Detroit...
But Juan, what was the high school in Saved by the Bell?
Bayside.
You got to put it by the Bay.
Yeah, but the Golden Road one, the Anheuser-Busch one, isn't the Saved by the Bell themed one. This is
right, no, that's
oh, I thought
that's,
they were the
no,
same.
That's Temescal.
Oh, yeah. Then,
one of the breweries that doesn't want
we're merging stories here.
Are they calling this one Valley?
Maybe.
Valley High. The Valley High.
Valley Brewing Company.
The rival brewery. Create your own rival brewery with, like, its own, like...
Flip to beer handle number 58 to see if you guys compete.
Wow. All right, we're going to take a quick break, though. We'll be right back with the Better AC on Draft podcast. And we are back, episode 81 of the Better on Draft podcast. As always, segment three, when he's here, is Matt Bush with five questions.
I don't know if we have music going yet because
we do.
The headphones are dead. But so, in honor of our Veterans Beer Company, I did a battle-themed... five questions here.
Okay.
Hoorah.
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 So, in World War II is the theme, Rob, as he re-enters. Can't see him. He blends in with the
Call
background.
Call of Duty.
Ooh. So
talk about a shirt. That's what we're talking about.
So, Britain's Royal Navy in 1944 launched the most ambitious plan for supporting soldiers with beer during World War II. Anticipating a long war in the Pacific with impending shortages of beer for sailors in the high seas. Two ships were outfitted with what they called Davy Jones Brewery and were stationed in this North American city.
Davy Jones Brewery, this North American city. Obviously, it's got to be, I'm guessing, a port city.
Charlotte.
I don't know. What's guessing Boston.
I was thinking Boston.
I think we're all going with Boston.
Boston.
We're
all wrong.
You missed the thing where I said worried about supplying soldiers with beer in the Pacific.
Oh shit!
That would be
so. Let's go ahead and try to.
Maybe they want to go all the way around. I don't know. That's what the Panama Canal's for. I got to tell you, the military does some weird things.
Wait, you said this was World War II?
He said North American. So I'm going to go with Vancouver.
So Hawaii isn't a thing at that point, right?
It is.
Hawaii's not a state.
But that's where Japan's kind of changed.
No, I meant there wasn't much left at that point.
Oh, yes.
I don't think that's a joke. I think you can't still say that joke. Sorry. It's been too... It hasn't been long enough.
Does that mean like Abraham Lincoln jokes are off?
Well, it could be the Bay Area, so it could be San Francisco. I'm still going with Vancouver. Because he said North American, and I don't know why he would have said North American if it wasn't in.
It could be a trap.
That's true.
It's a trap. I want to say Seattle.
Rob, do you have a thought? Do you want to break the tie? Greg, do you want to break the tie?
No. No, I don't.
One of you are right.
So it's Vancouver. I'm going with Vancouver. He would have said America.
I think
we know Matt enough.
Fine. I want to go with you because you're the main host of this show.
Man. I'm the main host.
And I hope you're wrong. So
you know your name comes before mine in the intro, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And Dan comes first. Yeah, he's been MIA for a few
minutes. Yeah. All right, so we're going to go Vancouver.
I'll stick with him just because of those same damn reasons.
It's Vancouver.
Oh, that's a hot lead. Read you like a book.
Got him.
All right.
So, what?
Because your name's Matt. Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
What?
I didn't put those together. So, question number two. I know we've had a problem with our centuries in the past, but I did the research. What 19th century?
So the 1800s.
Oh, you said military. I was thinking military century, like on the wall walking.
Huh?
Ah.
A century. Just, a
oh, no, that, no, not a century with an S.
Okay.
Century with a C.
Gotcha. Sorry, military.
What 19th century army leader once said, an army travels on its belly?
I have no idea.
God, my boot camp instructor would be pissed right now.
I have no idea. So 1800s, General Robert E. Lee. I don't know.
I was going to say Lee just because I'm thinking of something. I don't know.
It's the only one I could really think of.
How about what foreign 19th century army leader once said, an army travels on its belly?
Foreign army leader?
Greg, what are the famous army leaders of the 19th century in Europe?
Oh, jeez.
I didn't know it was going to be one of these podcasts.
It's probably the only guy that Nick could look eye to eye with.
It's fucking Napoleon. It's Napoleon.
Ouch.
No, Napoleon.
Despite the fact that he wasn't that short.
Why is it a short joke? That's where we're all like, Napoleon.
Because I don't know why he's always attributed with being so short.
I remember something like that after the fact, hindsight.
I swear he was like 5'10".
All right, so... Rob, you don't have to worry about pouring that too much brown because you got something else.
Yeah, I already accidentally tasted it on the break. It tasted like, you know, wheat and apples.
Wheat and apples.
Yeah, which is really freaking weird.
Will wheaten an apple?
That'd be woot stout.
Woot stout.
And that is way too light for woot stout.
Yeah.
What? It tastes like flat as shit.
Oh.
What branch of the military was founded in a bar?
The Revolutionary Army?
Branch of the military.
So that wouldn't be a...
The Army?
The Marine Corps. Ooh. Was founded in Tun Tavern. They got... when they did it, they got their order. And so here's some knowledge. If you kick that out, I would have known that. But so they started signing people up, and people would just wake up on ship.
Oh.
Because they had no idea that they had signed up for the Marine Corps.
Sounds...
Way back.
Wow.
So they were covered in semen at that point.
Jeez. They were surrounded by semen.
Oh, God.
All right. So take a sip of
this beer.
Take a sip of this fantastic beverage.
I definitely get the apple, but it tastes so flat.
So it tastes like 3-year-old Mott's.
Just for full disclosure. On Wikipedia, the page just says page issues. So I don't think anybody has ever edited this page because it's so DGAF about this beverage.
DGAF.
Like, St. Ides is like, damn, you. It's not St. Ides. It's your clip.
I have absolutely nowhere to start with this beer. Like, I don't even think it doesn't even taste like a beer. It tastes like a flat Angry Orchard. But Angry Orchard's got to have something on its Wikipedia.
Yeah.
It tastes like flat Angry Orchard.
It tastes like if you would put, like, 2 drops of apple juice in a thing of vodka and just shook it up.
No. You know what this tastes like if you put... some type of cider in one of those frozen glasses when you go to our beer is 32 degree. What's that, Twin Peaks?
Right.
Yeah, that's what this tastes like, is that all the flavor has been killed by the cold. And
well,
now it's just
I can
flat.
Assure you that all the flavor has been killed in the process of making it.
I have no idea.
Jeez, so, witches.
What does it smell like? Anybody any smelling notes? Notes?
One of my friends went to Twin Peaks and I pulled a Matt and said, on purpose?
On purpose.
Well, they do have a great scenic view there.
You go to the Scottish Hooters?
Tilt-a-kilt.
Tilt-a-kilt. So you got the Scottish Hooters, you got the Nordic Hooters, which is, or the Lumberjack Hooters, which
Lumberjack
is Twin
Hooters.
Peaks. I have absolute, like, I'm at a loss here.
I'll give you a clue. It's in a 24-ounce bottle.
Well, I saw the bottle.
And I'm picturing it, and I feel like I can't come up with it.
I can't come up with a single item.
I feel like this is the one thing where I've just tried it and vowed never to drink it again.
This is going to be like this seems
this
like...
This is the first quit? This is like a
rage
quit?
We haven't even thrown a question out yet, and he can't even...
I can't even come up with something to break it down because I can't even think of... it's in the singles. It comes in a glass bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 24-ounce glass bottle.
It's like carbonated apple drink.
Yeah, that's the thing, though, is that it doesn't have any flavor to it.
He's pulled the bottle out. It's still in
the
paper bag.
It's a clear 24-ounce bottle.
It's pretty clear.
It's still Corona apple. No, I'm just kidding. That's not a
Corona apple.
Did you put an apple drop instead of a lime drop into a Corona and then serve it to
Damn
us?
Damn it. Is that what I did accidentally?
Oh, my gosh. I have absolutely no idea.
What's the rules? Do I have to finish this?
No, you just
No. Okay. We just have to ask two questions to try and figure out what the hell this thing is.
But it's supposed to be in a glass. Hold on.
This is where the idea spurns right now.
So I'm gonna ask a question, and of course it's either gonna be I got it or I'm so far off base it's not even funny. Is this brewed in America?
I believe it is.
You believe it is?
Let's see.
So take that for what it is. The United States of America.
According to their Wikipedia page.
Is this brewed in the United States of America?
I'm just going to go ahead and say it's an American beverage.
Okay.
It's also in the UK, but it is owned by an American company.
It is owned by an American company, but it's also in the UK.
I'm going to go ahead and guess that, yeah. I'll tell you, it's not one of the conglomerates.
Okay, so that goes away because, well... Hold on, I'm trying to figure out who owns Stella.
Stella's a Budweiser product.
Okay, so it's not Stella, because I was going with Stella Cider.
No, this is not Cidre, by the way.
Whatever. I don't care.
Trenton, New Jersey, and also Norfolk, Virginia.
Trenton, New Jersey, and Norfolk, Virginia?
Starting in the...
So it's not a major.
In the 1939 is when...
It's not a Pabst, it's not Sam Adams. Well, sure. Pabst is a major.
Well, no, it's. I mean, what I meant, it's not. I'm saying it's not the Sab Miller AB family. So
okay,
it's outside that conglomerate.
I have. Do you have any tasty notes? Like, I can't.
I might be way off, but it tastes like a wine cooler, something along that line.
Well, it is known to be. It is a. It is brewed with yeast, more commonly used in wine fermentation. So you are right in that category. That might be a clue to its name.
Apple
wine yeast.
Wine yeast.
Beer with wine yeast. See,
but it's just this whole apple thing I can't get off of, and I know it's obviously it's not Reds, it's not Balaques. The only other apple. Ish beer I can think of is Strongbow.
Does Strongbow come in those tall?
No, I don't think it does.
That's
this does not taste like Strongbow.
That's
okay.
That's all
Nick
I can
knocked
think of.
That down.
All right. Well, I'm out then because I got nothing. That's all I could really. All right. That's all I can.
I'm gonna go ahead and kick this one to you again. The name also reminds you that this yeast. Is more commonly used with wine fermentations.
Like you're saying it, and I'm still not. Like I know what you're saying.
We only have 16 minutes left, too.
Like I don't. I have no idea.
Are we gonna submit? Have I called you into submission?
We'll say question number two is it a Strongbow product?
It's not a Strongbow product.
Okay. I know you did. I'm just going for. I have no
apple wine.
This is not. It has nothing to do with apples.
Throw names out.
Just throw it. Just
sticking it out on the board.
What do you got?
It's probably something stupid. Smirnoff.
Champagne.
Oh my god.
The fuck?
This ninja.
Timeout.
Your guys' question. These games are tough.
You're in timeout, Matt, for
you
a moment.
You just brought champagne?
So before we go to question four or five, is anything going on with Veteran Beer Co. in the Metro Detroit area? Matt's in timeout.
That's
so
your ass.
Talk.
Hold up, because he's getting right into this, so that's your ass. I'm gonna just sit back.
Yeah. So I would recommend if you're looking to get involved with a local veteran charity and actually be able to try our products, stop in. It's at the Emerald Theater, May 6th, the Vets Returning Home Country Concert Series. Plus, we're on a lot of Beer of the Months coming in, leading into Memorial Day weekend at the end of May. So keep an eye out for us. And if you're interested in trying veteran beer, we are able to be at all your favorite locations. So make sure you ask, and ideally they already have it. So ask for if they have veteran beer.
and ask for your favorite one. If it's Blonde Bomber, Freedom Road, Hooyah IPA, and actually, believe it or not, quite a few even restaurants are taking on Bunker Buster in those 16-ounce cans.
Nice.
So that'll be a lot of fun.
You can
not yet. I recommend our next limited release beer also be on draft as well. So I hope they take note. And
you can find them on Twitter at Vets Beer. You can find them on Instagram, Veteran Beer Co., as well as vetbeerco.com. Matt, you're out of timeout, so we can go into question four now.
All right. come on, it's Champale. Everyone's seen this.
Champale?
No, I've never heard of it.
Never heard
it's
of Champale?
No, it's on tap, believe it or not.
I've heard of it. I've heard of it.
I've never heard of it.
And I'm utterly disgusted that I've now had Champale.
Well, I wouldn't believe that was a beer. If you told me that, I could have put that as anything. I wouldn't have put that as a beer.
All right. Due to their pre-war ritual of drinking beer, many ancient armies often fought while naked, shedding their clothes with their inhibitions. Which of the following cultures did not do this? The Vikings, the Scots, or the Celts?
The Scots.
Sounds like some complete Saturnalia shit going on right there.
Sorry, Rob, this is a white person.
I thought we were still talking about the wine.
No, that into the question. They were not drinking champagne on the 1200.
Hey, as far as I know, champagne is the reason I'm here. I have no idea. So
I'm going to go with Scottish.
I'm going to go with Vikings.
Maybe because it's too cold.
I mean, Iceland, Scotland, and Ireland are all pretty cold places. So I think you're getting shriveled wherever you're going.
Yeah.
All right. So one of you guys are right. So do you guys want
to be expected?
So it's not the Celts. It's either the Vikings or the Scots did not do it.
Scots.
I'm going to go with our guest and say the Vikings.
I was going to go with the Vikings.
It is the Scots.
Oh man, this is why every time.
Should have went with me. I'm the smart one here.
Let's get some Afghan knowledge in here.
I mean, I don't think anything is beer related in Afghanistan.
Yeah. Do they have beer? No.
Okay. I guess my last question kind of circles back to kind of one of your founding story. A lot of macro beers, especially around now, the summertime, July 4th, always promote the military. This one's for you, et cetera, et cetera. I know Mike's Hard Lemonade is now doing something with their boots campaign. Is it all good because it supports the military, or is there ever a place where it's crossing a line of just patronizing and patting them on the back just to get their dollars back into the company? I guess that's the last, like, kind of debate question. Like, not really is there a yes or no, but...
Well, me personally working for this company, I see it all the time, and that it's just seen as a gimmick. So many people are jaded by the whole drink for your troops but have nothing to do with it. And as a perfect example, you know, people always tell me, you know, right away, and even when I started with the company, we need to get out to all the VFWs, Legions, and Vets, etc. And sure, we can do well at some, but some, you know, have people that are just used to drinking what they're drinking, and others have, like, my own VFW. I'm the service officer. I just became the trustee this last week ago at St. Clair Shores VFW, the Bruce Post. Shout out.
Is that the one on
Jefferson? Beautiful location.
I have to come see you. I have questions for you.
Yeah, it's the largest in the state and the 14th largest in the country. Now, my commander, Randy Schaefer, he's like, knew I work for the company. They have most of our products in, not all of it, but I don't hard push. But he's like, I want your signage everywhere. So I just gave him some. He put it up everywhere. And we had an individual going around. I was even there. Was going around taking all the signs down.
Oh.
And someone said, what are you doing? He goes, this has nothing to do with veterans. They just says veterans. It doesn't help veterans. So they're like, Greg, come over here. I'm like, hey, what's going on? He said, he doesn't think your company has anything to do with veterans. So I explained it to him. He leans over. He goes, yeah, you're going to need to put a new sign in the John. I accidentally took it down. And I go, I didn't even put that up there. I'm not going back in the bathroom to go put a sign up. Are you kidding? And but that just reminded me about the whole thing. And that, I think, goes back to the question. And to an extent, it jades people that there's everything is a gimmick. Drink for the troops, but have nothing to do with it. You know, and when it comes to, and again, when I talk about the Budweiser thing, that is a true story. It's I would not turn away that $600,000 to go to veteran charities. That's great. That's amazing. But again, it's how much are they spending? What are they really doing? Is it a gimmick? Are they doing it just this time because they know Well, sure, if they might care, but they only do it during that gimmicky time, mm-hmm. then that's what, you know, why aren't they doing it all year? If you can give a dollar per bottle, you know, and there's some others that they say, oh, we give our, you know, proceeds of our profits. Are they profitable? Because if they're not, you know, 50%, 100% of nothing is still zero.
Exactly.
You know? And that's why we do the 10% top line. So I say, you know, 1,000 cases go out the door sold, I have to give equivalent of 100 away, no matter what, whether we're profitable or not.
Now, I remember kind of off that topic, there was a big issue with paid patriotism with the NFL, the MLB, where they would bring, you know, service member so-and-so has come home to surprise his wife or so on and so forth. And in St. Louis, there was a big issue with the serviceman coming home. I can't recall his name, but he was part of the Bush family. I think he had married into, or he was one of them. So in St. Louis at Bush Field, Sergeant Bush was coming home to greet his fiance or his wife.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, that's, you know, great and all. Well, you know, I'm glad to see that soldier is no longer in battle if he was ever in battle. But, you know, there are a lot of,
It's like, you know, who else would they pick? You know, if they own the place, why wouldn't they do that for, you know, their own person? And I think a lot of that stuff is great. You know, why don't stop doing that? You know, when I came home from Afghanistan and Iraq, when I got off the plane, the news was there, the local news was there and greeted me and said hello and interviewed my family and stuff. And that stuff's great. So, you know, I don't think you could really, you know, stop doing one for the other, because, you know, it took my family to call to have the news there. So, of course, if your father-in-law, whoever, owns the place, why wouldn't they do something like that? I think, you know.
Well, we had it like a mutual friend of Nick and I's, Brock, when he came home from the Marine Corps, he did a tour in Afghanistan, and like the news was there. Hooters donated girls to.
I didn't get the Hooter girls.
No. The Hooters donated girls to serve beer. So, you know, they had this huge coming home thing for him. So it always like that kind of stuff, obviously, you know, the cutting of the onions. I remember, seeing it at Ford Field. I went to a game and they did it as not necessarily a prank, but a like celebration. Oh, by the way, he's home.
Well, and I think all that stuff is great. And I'm sorry if I cut you off, I tend to do that quite a bit, but, like to go back, like I would never, I don't, I think they all should do that. You know, everybody should do that. But it's just when they do it as the gimmick because, hey, we can capitalize it now. But I'd rather them almost sometimes do that.
Well, isn't that what
it.
We were talking about with St. Clair Shores, with the Shores Inn?
Yeah, you need – everybody's looking for something to promote. I mean, this is a business. You know, we're not a charity, you know, so we are not – you know, we're selling our product out on the street. So we want people to buy it, and that's the – everyone's trying to do that. They're trying to have why am I going to bring your product in? Are people asking for it? How can I market it? Is it good? What's the story behind it? You know, and everybody's looking for that. So if they could be given to veterans, I think that's a great thing. It's just if it's just a straight gimmick, then I don't have any time.
But
for
I guess
it.
Where's the line? Like, there's one of the accounts that I go to. It's not in the beer industry, but it's a party store, and it says, you know, this one's for you, and there's five faces, and they're all people in military garb. Is that just kind of like, you know, just kind of saying, you know, placating to them or saying.
I think stuff like that, like, what are they really doing? To me, when I see that, I would think, like, every day I go into my own VFW and it's the company I talk about is the Budweiser that helped start the company. And it's like, drink for your vets, salute your vets or whatever. And what exactly are they doing? Now, they probably have these great statistics on what they give to, but how much are they really, they're spending to show that? I think they, you know, it needs to be more realistic.
Now, there's one, I guess, one question I had, because obviously, you know, being owned by veterans, run by veterans, there are other, obviously, other veteran-owned breweries that are out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I guess, for example, Honor Brewing, Young Veterans Brewing, Veterans United Craft Brewery.
Dog Tag. Yep.
I mean, have any of them reached out to you in terms of trying to do any type of collaboration or any idea that you might want to do any collaborations
that
with them?
I'm not particularly aware of. They wouldn't reach out to me directly, and if they did, I would pass it along to, you know, my founder, CEO, our brewmaster, things like that. But, you know, all of that's great. Employing veterans, that's why we do this. We do it to headline, you know, to showcase veterans. So all of that is a
great thing. We just think what we do, no one does it like it. And I don't know the truth. You know, I've never seen this to the story, but when I first started, we heard rumor that there was another brewery that was like us that actually were telling people they were us. So people are like, we've had veteran beer before, but they weren't exactly. They didn't hire exclusively veterans, and they didn't give what we gave, but it just sounded better to sound like, yeah, well, you know, sure, we're with them, you know? I think all of that stuff is great. As long as you're giving, as long as you're hiring veteran. And look, you don't have to be 100% owned and operated by veterans. You don't have to be a veteran company. Hire veterans. Take a look at them. If you have a resume coming in, if it says veteran on it, give them the second look, bring them in, and they might be the right person, even though they might not have the experience you're looking for.
Right. Okay.
And drink veteran beer.
Now, before we go, I'm going to give you a lead. A great place to try to sell veteran beer would be North Center Brewing Company in Northville, Michigan, just south of Baseline Road on North Center Road over in Northville, Michigan. So go there. Oh. Maybe they'll at least take your bottles, maybe your cool cans. But I'm sure they'll love the tap handles.
Well, they'll definitely love the tap handles. And that's something, you know, you got it all right.
Yeah, I know.
You know, being in Michigan and trying to, like, expand a little bit more in Michigan, it might even behoove you to try to collaborate with some local breweries to bring veteran beer veteran beer brewed in Michigan to Michigan.
And in my tours, like, going around to different locations trying to get in the grind, there's a few breweries that they only keep their own tap handles, but if they're doing so well they can't brew fast enough, that's where maybe a guest tap would make sense. Or we're not opposed to, you know, you hear a lot of breweries doing it, but sending in our master brewer, collaborate.
Yep.
Because, you know, we're, you know, and that's, again, it goes back to when I go into locations, you know, we give that 10%, you know, whether they're promoting veterans or not, that money's going. You know, if they're promoting, we're promoting, that's double dipping, that's great for the veterans. So why not? You know, we're absolutely up for partnering with locations.
And there's also a lot of breweries that now do feel good taps, which is their donation tap, their tap that donates to a local charity. So definitely something to look into. We are wrapping up, Greg. I do appreciate you coming on.
We're not going 3 hours?
We're not going 3 hours tonight. No. I do appreciate. I have to be up early for World Expo of Beer. I got to go up to Frankenmuth.
Well, have fun.
So go check out the judging tomorrow. So we'll be definitely posting a lot about that. We'll also be at the Beer Fest at the Ballpark in Lansing, as well as the Big Brew Festival.
I'll be there.
In Holmich Park at Warren.
I will be at Zoo Brew in a few weeks.
You'll be at Zoo Brew. You got tickets?
I got tickets.
Yeah, I did not.
That's a Friday night.
You'll be seeing me do some stuff on Facebook Live, I guess. You'll see some stuff posted up there.
Well, we'll be live here at betterondraft.com.
I'll do a live correspondence if you guys want me to.
No, that's okay. You can go. You can
live
go drink with the giraffes.
You go drink with the giraffes, the elephants,
or the badger. Or the badger is up in, not the badgers, the otters.
Real quick, what is the only
penguins
animal at the zoo that actually consumes alcohol? There is one.
The only animal at this
human being,
besides the human being,
true.
The kangaroo.
It is actually the elephant. They actually ferment alcohol in their trunks.
Yeah. Huh. The more you know.
And now, do you drink it when they're done, or do they pass it around? I'm intrigued by this.
So
elephant ale.
We'll definitely talk about this off the air, but definitely like us on Facebook, facebook.com, Better on Draft, Twitter, Better on Draft, Untapped, Better on Draft Podcast, Instagram, Better on Draft, as well as like us on iTunes, leave a review. This helps us get out a little bit more. Don't forget to thank you, our sponsors, North Center Brewing, Brown Iron Brew House, and Zatuna Liquor.
And also Schoolcraft College.
And Schoolcraft College, yes, with our scholarship.
It's another S.
We're giving away money.
So no
Go
matter what you think.
Veterans beer wherever it is sold.
Yeah, but no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's better on draft. Have a good night.